The day before I recorded my first video about coronavirus, on March the 18th, 2020, my Wikipedia entry was comprehensive, respectable, and even respectful. They mentioned the TV and radio series I'd made, the fact that I'd written columns for 5 national newspapers, the fact that I'd succeeded in changing government policy on benzodiazepine drugs, and so on and so forth. There are a couple of dozen generous quotes from newspaper reviews. I'd had a Wikipedia entry pretty well since their site started, though I'd frequently asked them to take it down because I think their way of working is quite absurd. Anyone with any agenda can edit a Wikipedia entry, except the individual concerned. In my experience, facts about living individuals are never checked properly. The day after I recorded that video, my Wikipedia entry was changed dramatically. I don't know what it looks like now because I never use Wikipedia anymore, but all the interesting stuff had been removed and replaced with some very dubious stuff, including the allegation that I'd been banned by an organisation called the Advertising Standards Authority, the ASA. Now, I don't know if it still exists, but the ASA was a private organisation, funded, I think, largely by big advertisers, which can't ban anyone from anything, though it does, I think, like to pretend it can. I remember the ASA had itself been reported to the Office of Fair Trading and had about as much power to ban anything as your local window cleaner. One of the main complaints in the new Wikipedia was that I'd been disciplined by the ASA for a claim about a food causing cancer. I remember this well. One of my books, Food for Thought, contained a section proving the link between meat and cancer. A representative of the meat trade made a complaint to the Advertising Standards Authority and they wrote to me. In reply, I sent them details of 26 scientific papers from reputable journals which proved my claim. The ASA wrote back to say that they did not look at scientific references. They then proceeded to fine for the complainant and announced that they were banning me from whatever they thought they could ban me from. This was so laughable that I ignored it. I also ignored it when the Press Complaints Commission did exactly the same thing. There's a summary of the evidence I tried to submit to both organisations on my website, headed Meat Causes Cancer, The Proof. Wikipedia editors, searching for ways to demonise me, dug these decades-old judgments, presumably from page 738 of a search engine, and stuck them and similar nonsenses on my Wikipedia page. I've written about these absurdities several times, and I believe that Wikipedia knows that these claims are absurd. But to them, they served a purpose, because what Wikipedia was doing was demonising or monstering me in an attempt to persuade users of the Wikipedia site that I was untrustworthy. This is by no means the first time this has happened to me. Indeed, it's happened scores of times over the years, and it is, I fear, the price anyone has to pay if they want to oppose dishonesty, corruption, and deceit. Wikipedia was using a well-known technique called controlled opposition, or opposition research, or organised opposition. It's a military trick which has for years been used widely in politics. When members of one party want to demonise the opposition, you simply go through an individual's life history looking for events which can be criticised. The Wikipedia editors know that the individual concerned can't correct anything on a site which bears their name. The bottom line, of course, is that if you can't trust one Wikipedia site, then you can't trust any of them. I no longer use Wikipedia as a reference source. I'm not, by the way, the first person to realise that Wikipedia is suspect. There have been a number of accusations that intelligence officers are editing Wikipedia sites. It isn't just Wikipedia doing the monstering, of course. The Bangkok Post, a publication which I didn't even know existed, published an article about me, without bothering to get in touch, of course, which tried to demonise me by claiming that my arguments about AIDS were wrong. In the last century, I had produced evidence proving that AIDS was not going to kill us all, though the establishment line was that it was. And the Bangkok Post journalist tried to rubbish my argument by claiming that the rate of HIV diagnoses in the US in 2018 was 24%. This is perhaps one of the most absurd claims I've seen anywhere. According to the CDC in the United States, a total of 1.2 million people in the United States have HIV. Since the population of America is currently over 300 million, that means that the rate is not 24% among heterosexuals, as claimed by the Bangkok Post, but about a third of 1%. Personally, I think that if the Bangkok Post had any self-respect, they'd withdraw the article and send the writer back to school, but I doubt if they'll do either. He also claims, by the way, that you can buy my books from my website, as though this is a bad thing. But you can't, I'm afraid. I'm not the only person whose reputation has been wounded in this war. The BBC has inevitably been outrageous. A rally was held in Trafalgar Square on the 29th of August, and well-qualified scientists, including Professor Dolores Cahill, Dr. Kevin Corbett and Dr. Mohammed Adil, and the magnificent and seemingly tireless astrophysicist Piers Corbin, spoke to tens of thousands. At 17:17 on Saturday afternoon, someone called Mariana Spring, described as a specialist disinformation and social media reporter, wrote what I regard as one of the most disgracefully biased news reports I've ever seen. She claimed on the BBC website, in an article headed "Conspiracy Theories Touted in Trafalgar Square," that although some protesters had held placards featuring false claims, but I'm not sure that making a judgment about the accuracy or not of a claim is within her capabilities or her remit. Worst of all, however, she wrote that, quotes, "various pseudo-scientists who have spread disinformation online about coronavirus were also scheduled to speak at the London demonstration," close quotes. I think that was one of the most libelous pieces of writing I've ever seen. I hope the scientists who were present all sue the BBC and demand massive damages. And I beg everyone watching or reading this to make a formal complaint to the BBC. Just go to their website and then to the complaints section. The BBC must be taught a lesson. They and the rest of the media are a weak point in this war. When the government stops giving them money, taxpayers' money, they're all going to need our support. I could give many examples of deceit, misreporting and plain dishonesty. When Piers Corbin appeared on an ITV morning show, he was attacked by three presenters and a weather girl who holds a world record for folding pancakes. One of them was someone called Dr. Hilary Jones, who was described in a journal called Pharmacy Business as a non-executive director of MedTate, which is described as a nutraceutical company, whatever that is, which makes and sells pharmaceutical products. I don't think ITV remembered to mention Dr. Jones's commercial relationship. He's always struck me as one of those TV people whose main quality is nice hair. Piers Corbin did brilliantly, but although he's a scientist, he's not a medical doctor. What a pity ITV didn't invite a physician to discuss the COVID-19 vaccine and so on with Dr. Jones and Mr. Morgan and the rest of the station's staff. This is my last video for YouTube. I refuse to collaborate with the collaborators. I refuse to suppress or distort what I know to be true simply to satisfy a platform which has no value, respectability or honour, as far as I'm concerned. When a government suppresses the truth, then the end result is inevitably oppression and tyranny. It's the job of journalists to question everything politicians say. YouTube's policy appears to be to suppress all questioning and to deny scientific truths in the interest of protecting the lies and the myths. No one at YouTube has ever claimed to have found any specific inaccuracy or factual error of any kind in any of the videos they've removed and banned. I'm a writer by profession, but I have a medical degree and some experience as a practicing doctor, and I don't take kindly to being told that I must suppress truths and clinical evidence to satisfy some unnamed censors who seem to me to be working with or for Bill Gates and whose aim seems to me to be destroying freedom and democracy by censoring and banning scientific truths and suppressing the freedom of expression, which is a basic human right. I can honestly say that I believe that all the information in all my videos is completely accurate. I have always used a script for these videos for two reasons: to make sure that I provide absolutely accurate facts, and so that we have a transcript which we can put onto the website. Since YouTube has taken down nearly 20 videos to date, this has proved useful. This video does not breach any of their guidelines. If they take this one down, they will, as far as I'm concerned, have proved themselves to be spiteful, vindictive and small-minded. We shall see. I could keep this channel alive if I were prepared to lie. But why on earth would I do that? I resigned as a GP on a matter of principle. I resigned from my last newspaper column on a matter of principle. I'm not going to sell my soul to a platform which disrespects the truth. I shall now add YouTube to the list of organisations which I boycott, and I strongly suggest that you do too. There are, I believe, plenty of more honourable alternatives. I see no point in recording more videos for YouTube. They're taking them down for absolutely no good reason that I can see within hours of my putting them up. My videos take much time and effort to research, write and check, and it's frustrating and disappointing to see them being banned for what I think are political reasons. It's modern day book burning. YouTube is no longer a reputable site. Its commercially inspired intolerance is unacceptable. I described my views on freedom in an early video entitled "Coronavirus, Why Did YouTube Ban My Video?" which they took down and then put back up, perhaps because they felt embarrassed. I'm sad about this, and I suspect that the opposition, the fans of Bill Gates, the 21st century would-be slave owners, will regard this as a victory for them. They would be mistaken to think that. I've been fighting lies and injustices for well over half a century, and I'm not going away. I'm regrouping, looking for more favourable ground to continue the fight. For the time being, I'm moving over to my own website, where nothing is ever censored. At the moment, we don't have the facility to put up videos, but we'll continue to put up new articles every Wednesday and Sunday, and at other times too. And we're going to put up more leaflets that can be printed out and distributed. My wife, who's always been in charge of research, editing and production, and reining me in when I seem about to get carried away, will choose the appropriate platform. We're both driven by the need to help those who can't help themselves, especially children, the old, the disabled and the mentally ill. But our new video site will be somewhere we can control. It might take a while because I'm never again going to be in a position where anyone can censor or ban what I've recorded. Finally, since no one in the government has accepted my challenge to debate the COVID-19 vaccine live on television, and through simple cowardice they're clearly not likely to now, I have another challenge for them. I am prepared to bet Dr. Whitty or Dr. Fauci £100,000 that they cannot provide independent clinical evidence proving beyond doubt that the COVID-19 vaccine and the newly promoted flu vaccine will be 100% effective and 100% safe, not just now but in the long term. If they have the courage to take on the bet, I will share my winnings with groups and websites campaigning for the truth. If they won't take on the bet, then we will know that they believe that any new COVID-19 vaccine will not be 100% effective or 100% safe in the short and long term. Let's put a finish date of 31st of December 2020 for the bet. Thank you again for watching the videos. Thank you for sharing them on Brand YouTube and BitChute and wherever else. Please share this one too, and thank you again for your support. I'm sorry I can't reply to messages, but we get many thousands a week. And I worked out the other day that if I replied to them all, I'd need 48-hour days and there'd be no time for anything else whatsoever, not even sleeping. So please forgive me. Distrust the government, avoid mass media, and fight the lies. Please remember that although you may sometimes feel that you're alone, you're not. More and more people are waking up, and we will win this war. And so, au revoir from an old man in a chair. I'll be back, but not on YouTube.